You may be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, instead of preaching a regular sermon with a theme and parts, I thought we would just have a kind of a Bible class over the four verses of our text today recorded in Revelation chapter 21. These are absolutely amazing verses, and if we take a really close look at them, we will see how you can apply this to your life now and have something to look forward to with great joy and anticipation in the life to come. You may want to have your bulletin in front of you, and I will be reading from a slightly different translation, the NIV, but I think that it's close enough that you can really follow along carefully. So let's go ahead and look at the first verse. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Heaven and earth. That first heaven and the atmosphere, that first earth, this glorious globe, what it must have been like. In 6 days, God created a literal paradise. And in that paradise, there was absolute harmony. Harmony between God and people, between people and people, between people and animals, actually among all things, a perfect harmony. Can you imagine what it was like for Adam and Eve in that garden before there was ever sin? It would be something like this. A wolf cuddling up next to a lamb. A child leading a bear, like holding a father's hand. A little infant just kind of giggling and goofing around with a viper. All friendly, no death. That's what it was like. But to that first heaven and that first earth came sin. And sin totally confused and destroyed that beautiful harmony. The earth started to contort. The atmosphere started to reel. And so there were things like tornadoes and earthquakes and volcanoes and droughts and pestilence. All those things we're so familiar with. And to that beautiful original paradise came the sin of man. And what happened to our relationship with God? And what happened to our relationship with our fellow man? Just go to the Free Press and see what it has to say. Look at it. Page after page, there's all sorts of problems. Stampedes of people trampling on other people. And then there's anger and fighting amongst politicians. The harmony between people has just been broken. I wrote down a few things that might indicate the kind of harmony that we have broken with people in our own lives. How about jealousy, envy, covetousness, dislike, hatred, pride, greed? This is not a good world because of sin, even our sin. Now, have you ever taken a knife that has, you know, germs on the blade and stick it in a fire? It burns off all the germs. It makes it pure. And so that's what God is talking to us about here in heaven. It's purified from all sin. Won't that be a wonderful place? It'll be like it was originally intended to be, with all of the relationships now back together. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." That idea of a wedding dress or a beautiful apparel which the groom has provided for the bride. Think about wedding dresses. They are exquisite and they are expensive. I always wonder how they make those wedding dresses so white, white, white. This must be a special bleach, as white as the snow. And then they are so carefully tailored and decorated that the price, I Googled it, the price of the average wedding dress in the United States today is $1,505. That's why my wife and I got married 37 years ago. The dresses were cheaper. At any rate, a very exquisite and very expensive, these dresses. So in this text, God is talking about heaven as God himself, as the groom, and as the believers, the church, as the bride, and he has provided the wedding dress for the church. And did it ever cost him a large payment, the payment of his own life? He walked the walk that we couldn't walk because of our sins. And then he died the death of hell itself for us, so we don't have to. Through his holy, precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death, he bleached us of our sins, in other words, forgiveness of sins, so that we might be united with him once again. This is quite an amazing picture of heaven. Now, what is heaven really going to be like, though? I mean, we can understand hell. We can understand hell because we know all about pain and sorrow and suffering and death, and we know all about sin and its consequences. Just magnify that and you get hell. But heaven, we've never lived in that purified state. So it's interesting, God describes heaven for us the only way we can really understand it, and that is what's not going to be there. So if you can imagine a place without all of these things, you can imagine heaven. Let's look at verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Actually, in Revelation chapter 21, there are 10 things that you won't find in heaven. So try to imagine a place, an existence, a relationship without these things, without tears, or anything that causes them, like death or pain. A place where there's no poverty, no fear, no violence, nothing rotten, dirty, or unclean. A place where there's no loneliness, no aging, no physical want unmet, no hunger or thirst. It's a place where there are no children without parents, no separation from God or separation from the saints of heaven. If you can just imagine that in your mind, you're starting to get a glimpse of what God has prepared for us. Well, then, what kind of application can we make of these verses, this glimpse of heaven for our own lives? I made one. About 2 weeks ago, one of my relatives phoned and said that my uncle, my aged uncle, I grew up with my uncle, and he was my hero as far as I was concerned. He's got cancer. And his sister, my aunt, who I lived with for several years when I went to college, she may have cancer as well. And my 88-year-old father is in hospice. Pretty sad, huh? Well, I don't know. Sad? They have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. All three are Christians. So what do they, sooner than later, have to look forward to? Harmony restored, perfect harmony with God and with all of the saints of heaven and with all of nature itself. Perfect harmony. That's what our text tells us. Not only that, but that harmony with God is going to be so close, it's going to be like a bride and a groom, where there'll be complete understanding of mind and soul and joy. And not only that, the things that are plaguing my relatives so much right now will all be removed. Sad? Maybe for me, but certainly not for them. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. We continue by singing the final two stanzas of the hymn. Now take with you the peace of knowing that you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, your sins are forgiven, harmony is restored with God. You may go in peace. Amen.